Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Happy Friday. Hopefully you survived the weather yesterday, and you ready to roll this morning. Still a little water on the roads. I noticed it rained a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It rained a lot. I mean, we were out at our bourbon event and at Clayton Winehouse, and we looked out the window, and it was raining sideways. And then people got there and said, you know, there's a tornado warning out in South County. I'm like, we were oblivious to it. I didn't hear sirens. I didn't hear anything.
There were sirens that were going off in St. Charles as we were heading to the Clayton Winehouse. And then I was reading this morning that there was a confirmed tornado. So Metro East Cahokia Heights, and then you had near Melville and Oakville. Eureka had, you know, Brookdale Farms, where we had that event with Brian Kilmeade. They had part of their roof ripped off. That's in Eureka.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
Bo Matthews had them.
Yeah, shared some pictures with us. And part of the, if you're familiar with that structure down there, part of the end of the main hall had the roof ripped off. And some of the barns, the outlying barns, it kind of looked like the sides had been caved in.
Mm-hmm. And I think there was actually a wedding party that I read that was there at the time. And they're ducking for cover as the roof's getting ripped
off. In the building?
That's my understanding. They were in the building.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, we were standing right about where that roof got ripped off when Brian Kilmeade was here.
Yeah.
We gathered on that end of the building to speak to people, and it's right above that where those garage doors are at the end of the building there where the roof came off. So hopefully, I didn't hear of any injuries. Have you? Have we reported any injuries this morning?
No injuries, just damage that
That's
I've
good.
Heard.
That's good. Well, in the meantime, we drank some bourbon. Lots of fine folks did show up last night. Some of them got there during the rainstorm, and then as the sun started coming out, I think more people came. I don't know if it impacted the numbers or not. We had a great turnout, and thanks to all of you who showed up. Met so many kind people who basically wanted to come out and see us and, you know, sample some of the different bourbons and the wines. And what was your favorite, Kim?
Well, I had a lot of the Round Pond, and I was trying the Cabernet, and that was really great.
They had three different ones.
But yes, they did. I tried all three of them.
But not the bourbon.
I did not try the bourbon. I did try the orange liqueur. That was nice.
Enjoyed seeing your husband,
Old Fashioned.
Michael. What's that?
I didn't have the Old Fashioned.
They had the orange liqueur with the four roses.
Yes, which has some ginger in it, and it just really made that drink. It was really, I'd never had it with that before. They used Four Roses bourbon and that ginger liqueur to make sort of an old fashioned, and it was really good. It's good. Of course, you're kind of getting double the alcohol there, I guess, right?
Oh well.
Oh well.
It was a good event. I got to finally meet Carl's wife, who's just lovely.
And we got to meet your husband.
Loved her. And yeah, Brad, your son, was there.
Yeah.
We had a good time. Easton, he survived the night. Just being passed around, just the happiest baby.
That kid, I walked over to him. Nicole was holding him, and he put his arms out to me.
Aww.
I thought my heart would melt. I picked that little dude up and held him for a few minutes, and then I realized what he did was very strategic, because Nicole would not give him any more crackers. She had a plate of cheese and crackers, And then Kelly, Tom's wife, was standing between me and the cracker so he couldn't see them.
Yes.
And he kept pointing at her
purpose.
Going, he wanted me to walk around the women and get him to the crackers. Yeah. And when I wouldn't do that, he wanted to go back
to
Nicole.
That's hilarious.
I know.
It's smart boy.
Smart, smart boy. All right. Well, thanks to all who turned out last night. In the meantime, Israel bombed Iran. So nobody's quite sure what's going on this morning with that. It is probably a good day for us to have Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation on the show because Jim will be coming on here just a little bit later. The area of Iran that they struck is the area where they do have some of their nuclear facilities, but initial reports are that they did not strike one of the nuclear facilities. Maybe they struck there to show Iran that they could if they wanted to, but it appears they did not specifically go after Iran's nuclear capabilities, which I halfway expected. It's an escalation. It is. And clearly, once again, warnings by the president of the United States to don't didn't work because he told Israel don't, and by golly, Israel did it anyway.
That is shocking.
It's a shocking turn of events. It really is. What does it mean for the future? I don't know. We do have Jim on this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. We will definitely get his thoughts on that. But first, let's get to the top stories, Carl.
Please. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
What appears to be Israeli strikes inside Iran have taken place, but I am told that they are, quote, limited in nature.
Yeah, limited and successful, I would imagine, right? Unlike the Iranian strikes against Israel. Because Israel didn't warn them it was coming. Things just started blowing up.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes.
Choose freedom over democracy. Democracy is freedom. Technically, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. I'm not sure what the guy's talking about, and neither were the people in the audience.
And his uncle, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea.
Let me translate for you. Joe Biden's uncle was not eaten alive by cannibals, just in case you were wondering.
Can you share your opinion of the former president?
I'm not a fan. It's very difficult for anyone really in this country to not come to this with prior opinions.
Yeah, that was the juror who asked to be let off of the jury because her family suspected she was on the jury. I have to tell you, I got, have you been called to jury duty, Kim?
Yes.
Okay. And have you served?
I was dismissed related to COVID, somebody who was in our group.
I was dismissed because of what I did for a living, right? I've been called for jury duty maybe 3 or 4 times in St. Louis County over the years. I've always been dismissed before ever getting called into a courtroom because they would announce they didn't need any more jurors or whatever. I finally got into a jury room a few years ago and, they start quizzing me on, what do you do for a living? Well, talk show host, reporter. I was still at Channel 4 at the time. Talk show host, reporter. It was a Lemon Law case against the SunTrip car company. And I'm sitting there thinking about is, how the hell do I get out of this? Because I don't want to sit here for
what
a
can
week,
I say right? That will so, get
but,
me dismissed?
But I was being honest with them. They're like, do you know the defendant? And they point over at one of the SunTrip brothers who was sitting there at the table because he's representing his dealership was being sued. And I'm like, yeah, I do know the defendant. How do you know the defendant? I'm like, well, I worked at Channel 4 for 20 years. They're a sponsor at Channel 4, and I've been to golf tournaments with him, and I've had alcoholic beverages with him. And the defense attorney says, Your Honor, I'd call to strike this juror. And the guy next to me elbows me in the side and says, that was a good one. Like I'd said that intentionally. But the point is, you need to ask these questions. You need to find out if people have a... Now, I'm not saying I couldn't have ruled fairly in that case. I mean, if SunTrip really screwed this guy on his car, I could have made a fair ruling on that. But I did know the guy who was sitting there at the table. You've got to be honest about those things. The Trump case is at a whole new level. CNN's out there this morning saying, well, you know, Trump is poisoning the jury pool. He's poisoning America. He wants you to believe that no matter who's on that jury, they all hate Trump. And that way, that's how he'll delegitimize the judicial system in America. Aaron Burnett, the anchorette, who was saying that, was, you need to understand, it's not the jury system that's screwed up. It's the New York legal system that's screwed up. Because they know they've got a biased jury pool to draw from, and the charges are illegitimate to begin with. So no matter the outcome of the trial, they should never have charged him in this case. And now they've seated a jury. They're waiting to get six alternates because surely at some point another one or two of these jurors will end up being dismissed.
Yep.
It's just bound to happen. Something will get leaked. They found out another guy yesterday had previously posted something negative about conservatives a few years ago on social media. You can't escape from it.
Well, this jury who the jury member who asked her to be excused herself, we don't really know if she was for or against Trump.
No,
right?
She said she was biased against him.
She said against? I thought it was just saying that she can't be unbiased, that now her family and friends have started reaching out to her. And I wondered, maybe she was in favor of Trump and she didn't want her family and friends knowing that, because somehow if you're in favor of Trump, people get mad at you.
Or if her family and friends knew that at some point she said something positive about
Trump.
That's
what I mean. That's what I wondered.
They might leak it to the media to try to poison her somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not how I heard her statement. Go to cut 10, the full cut there, Carl.
Can you share your opinion of the former president?
I'm not a fan. It's very difficult for anyone really in this country to not come to this with prior opinions. I think we all have prior opinions about the defendant, unless you've been like living in a cardboard box since 2014.
Yeah, she says I'm not a fan.
Oh, interesting.
She says it right at the beginning. I'm not a fan. So, maybe it was somebody calling her out saying, we know you're biased, and if you don't step down off the jury, we're going to release this to the media. She might have gotten an email like that. I mean, who knows?
Interesting.
That's good. They're all going to want to write a book when it's over with, and you know they've packed it with some Trump haters. Let's just hope there's one fair person on the jury. That's all you can hope for, but he'll still win it on appeal because of this biased judge. All right, I've gone too long. Quick break here. Carl Middleman, we had a request last night at the Bourbon Spring Fling, and why don't you start honoring that right now?
Sure. We're going to hear the Fray doing our national anthem.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All of our analyses, or perhaps more accurately, our speculation, seems to be premised on the assumption that both protagonists here, that is Israel and Iran, are attacking each other in the hopes of messaging each other, and that somehow these attacks are circumscribed and limited to convey a message. I think we're rapidly, based on the information that Alex just discussed, that it looks like there was an attack, I think we're rapidly growing out of that phase. and that the escalation ladder is going to get harder and harder to control, and that the messaging phase is perhaps over.
Yeah, I hate that guy too, but I wanted to play that bite for you. That is James Clapper, former CIA director, never Trumper. You know, one of the ones that signed the letter against Trump, the fake letter about the Russian interference with the Hunter Biden laptop and all of this garbage. I mean, he's a very biased source, but I was interested in his take on that because it's probably not untrue that they are kind of messaging each other via missiles.
I was going to say this whole thing is so odd. Like if Iran goes back and essentially retaliates for this attack, are they going to give a 48-hour warning again?
They will have to retaliate. I mean, that's the danger here. I'm not completely opposed to what Israel did. Here's what I wish. Quit fooling around. If you're going to hit them, hit them. If you're going to hit them, take out the nuclear plants, and then you don't have. Then we've eliminated one of the biggest fears, is that Iran might send a nuclear weapon into Israel, which starts World War III.
Well, that was one of the areas that Israel intentionally hit, right? But were they trying to aim for that? And you think they?
No,
didn't
I don't
hit
believe.
It? You think they were?
I don't believe they were trying to aim for it. I think they were trying to send a message.
We're getting
close. They could have hit it if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Right. But that they didn't. So you better back off, fire a couple missiles so your people see you fire missiles, make sure they fall into the sea, and we'll call this a day. I don't think Iran wants to go there. They'd rather fight this through proxy wars. What's going to happen is that because of the horrible energy policies of the Biden administration, which the guy from the Wall Street Journal was on the Gordon Deal show this morning trying to argue that somehow Joe Biden's doing all he can to help with energy prices. Well, he might be between now and the election. He hasn't up until now. He's drained our strategic reserve, and half of the oil that we sold to China. Right? Our biggest geostrategic enemy. So what we're doing here is not smart. But if this escalates anymore, gas is going to be $5 a gallon again soon, just in time for summer. So what we need to do, a smart president would remove all restrictions from domestic oil and let them get started now, trying to pump more of that black gold out of the ground. But he won't, because he's a green zealot, and all he cares about is his idealistic goal to stop internal combustion engines. I don't know how you're going to heat your home in a few years, but Joe Biden will be dead, so he's not worried about it. I mean, honestly, that's kind of how you feel when you look at what's going on over there. Lots and stuff to unpack here. If anything new happens this morning, we'll be sure and let you know. I promise you that. All right, coming up a little later, we're going to get Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. He got a big endorsement he wants to talk about this week. And Bob Onder, former Senator Onder, on the Post-Dispatch and attacking the abortion initiative petition.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Kim on a whim.
I can't wait to get your opinion on this, Mark. There's this story about America's first biometric gun. The company behind it, BioFire, has created this new gun that they believe is going to be safer, not designed to be carried, but to have in your home for protection. Listen to the CEO of this company describe this gun.
The only people, the owner or that they've chosen, can actually use it. The owner is, he enrolls people into the firearm. So it's all local. There's no databases or remote connectivity or anything like that. And helps ensure that children, teenagers, and other folks that they don't want getting access to that firearm won't be able to get access to it, while they still have full unrestricted access.
And that's because this smart gun has built-in fingerprint and infrared facial recognition technology. So unless you're the owner, or you've authorized, say, a friend or a family member to use it, it will not unlock for you. You don't even have to lock it. He says it automatically locks. And he says because of the facial recognition technology, the built-in fingerprint, all the high-end gadgety things that they included in this, he says it instantly unlocks. As soon as you grab it, it's quick. So you're ready to go.
Thousands. I think I called him a butthead in a minute.
Is that how you really feel?
No. I'm a big no on this. Now, maybe there's some pamsy-whamsy liberals out there who think it would be a good idea to let this company collect your bio-identification, or that it would be a good idea that in the middle of the night, in an emergency, when somebody's kicked in your front door, you have to fumble for the gun and hope the technology works in time to activate the gun so that you can defend yourself. I personally will just rely on a trigger, but thank you.
He claims it would unlock very quickly. This guy is really young, the CEO you just heard from, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, we've been working on this for 7 years or 12 years, whatever it was. And he's like, I know what you're thinking. I started working on this technology back at the age of 15 as a science fair project. Now they've raised $37 million from tech investors, and they're going for just shy of $1,500. He says there's been thousands of pre-orders, and they're getting ready to ship them out to the first customers here in the next few weeks.
Good luck.
Yeah, he's like, it's a hand. It's comparable to a full-size handgun. So he's like, it's not something we envision you carrying, but he's like, we envision people having it at home.
Don't need it.
My concern would be making sure the technology doesn't fail, because that's part of the issue. It's like all of our refrigerators and our TVs and our cars, they're so smart nowadays, but that's the downfall of us, because you pay all this money to have all this fancy technology, and that's what fails, and it's very expensive to fix. And
I'm not sure we need to be in the business of making guns not work. But what if my wife comes in and finds me dead in the room, the guy's still in the house, and she needs to grab the only gun that's available and shoot him, and it won't work because it's set to my fingerprint and not hers.
Yeah.
So maybe the guy, I have questions. Maybe the guys can, you can set it for multiple fingerprints.
So you can. He's saying that the owner of the gun can authorize, I believe, however many people you want to recognize you, I guess.
So a couple things here. Number one, I would assume if you are not a responsible gun owner, you would worry about your child or somebody else's child getting a hold of your gun. First of all, shame on you. Second of all, the people who are irresponsible gun owners are not the ones that are going to go pay $1,500 for a firearm. They're buying one used cheap somewhere because they're not responsible to begin with, right? And number two, I would argue that you keep your gun locked up but accessible somewhere near your bed. And I'm not even all that opposed. I know there are some biometric safes now, so where supposedly you can just lay your hand on top of it, it recognizes your fingerprints or your ID, and then it pops open.
I've seen those, actually. I know
I don't even
who have
know
those.
How much I trust those.
Well,
what if the battery dies?
It's funny you say that, because I've seen those. And they have worked really well in a lot of cases, but I've seen it where it's not been as quick to want to open. Again, that's technology.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
It works maybe 98% of the time, but the 2% of the time, it's very important that it works, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Help you.
I think, and I'd have to listen to the bite again, because my brain was churning when you played it, but I think I heard him say it doesn't share the biometric information.
Only
people, the owner or that they've chosen, can actually use it. The owner is, he enrolls people into the firearm. So it's all local. There's no databases or remote connectivity or anything like that, and helps ensure that children, teenagers, and other folks that they don't want getting access to that firearm won't be able to get access to it while they still have full unrestricted access.
So no, is he saying what? No remote connectivity?
He claims there's no, they claim that about voting machines too.
So your concern's very valid. So your concern would be, of course, you're giving up your information by having it recognize your face, your fingerprint, and then who's to say that somehow that information then couldn't be accessed, even though they're saying it's not. You'd like to think that, for example, Facebook wouldn't be selling your personal Facebook messages, but we've now learned that they were giving those over to Netflix.
Yeah. I'm just leery of the technology for a couple of reasons. I don't believe that it doesn't store your information Somebody's got to be able to retrieve it because it's programmed into the gun. The gun has a computer chip of some sort, right? It's got to be. I don't know. Maybe you got your fingerprint already registered when you went to get a concealed carry license years ago, so it doesn't really matter to you or not if somebody has your bio identification information. I'm just leery of the technology because there are people in this country that want you to have to register your gun. They want you to have to register your bullets. They want to figure out ways to track you down. So here would be my other question. This is not a daily carry weapon.
No.
Right?
Yeah, he says that.
How long do the batteries last? That's what I'd like to know because you don't use your gun for emergencies very often. If you bought this gun just to keep it at home, just in the event that you might ever need it, let's say it's 10 years from now, and you go to grab it, and you haven't shot it in the 10 years because it's just there for, and then all of a sudden you find out the battery's expired and the gun won't work. The gun's locked because the battery expired. That just seems like a dangerous thing to depend on.
This might be a silly question, but in my mind, I was thinking you would just need like a chip, like an SD card.
It's got to be powered with something. Something's got to scan your finger.
Non-standard. It's not like you're going to be loading AAAs in there, so you've got to have some weird battery that's probably hard to find and maybe expensive.
One of those little round
batteries.
Dang
it, get the AAs for my gun. Charge my gun, please, and my cell phone.
It would be one of those little batteries that you need for your watch or your...
But that's what I'm envisioning.
Or your, you know, remote control that you never seem to have when you need it.
Yeah.
All right? And you don't know how old the battery is when you buy it or how long it's going to last. And I, personally, I'll tell you, I bought a gun a few years ago, and I thought it was really cool at the time, and I got one of the red laser attachments that go on the front so that when you unholstered the gun, it would automatically turn that laser on. Mm-hmm. It would trigger that laser when you unholstered the gun, and then you could point it at whatever you wanted to shoot. Now, the bad part about that is that whoever you're pointing it at can see where the laser is coming from, and they have something to aim at. So pretty quickly, I decided I didn't like carrying a laser around. What I also determined was I didn't use it a lot, but the battery died a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes me leery. I'll just have to say I'm probably a firm no on that.
This
if
sounds
it makes
good,
you feel better, do it.
Well, I was going to say this sounds good in theory. I think all of these ideas are like, yeah, you're the reasoning for why you're doing it as far as irresponsible people who are leaving their guns unlocked and these children get a hold of it and they're shooting themselves or other people. I mean, that's... The idea behind it is good. I, like you said, I think there's some questions to be asked.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, good. I'm glad you brought that up, though. It's the new technology. That's where they're going.
That's where we're going.
I will take a cold steel trigger, please. One pull, one shot. That's how it works. All right, coming up, I want to talk more about the conversation I had last night at our Bourbon Spring Fling event because I think it's important, particularly given what's going on in the world right now, to know where you can turn for voices you can trust and something that's been missing now for a couple of years. We're going to be back in just a minute.
When you look down, what do you see? You don't see anything because you're not wearing any ribbons. It means you're a bigot. It means you're a racist. It means you're a sexist. It means you're a homophobe. It probably means you're a white guy. It probably means you're a European. And you alone are responsible for all the ills of America. But I'm not because I'm wearing these ribbons. I care more than you.
Sort of like hearing Ronald Reagan's voice, that sends a chill down my spine. Can I tell you that? The great one there, Rush Limbaugh. Do you know what year that was?
I have no clue.
It was 1993.
Really?
So I play that because I had a great conversation with a couple who came to our event last night, and they were both lamenting the void that was created when Rush Limbaugh died, right? And I couldn't agree with them more. And I've said it publicly, and I've said it to friends here in the building, and I've said it to other people we've had this conversation with. Rush Limbaugh had an ability to forecast the future of this country. He warned us way back in 1993 what the left was doing. And unfortunately, while he had a lot of listeners, not enough people paid attention. In 1993, Rush Limbaugh was trying to school you in the virtue signaling to come by the left, that whatever they embraced, their pronouns or their ribbon for the, you know, Boko Haram hostages or whatever it happened to be, the person doing that was more caring than you were. You don't embrace the LGBTQ community, right? If you don't wear a pride flag during Pride Week. You don't this, you don't that. We're superior to you. We're morally superior. We're this, we're that. Limbaugh was a visionary, and he had an ability to he had an ability to turn a phrase in a sarcastic way, in many ways, in a joking way, where he was self-deprecating. He didn't take himself all that seriously, but he was a serious guy. And he saw what was coming in this country in a way that nobody else has. I tell people all the time, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for Limbaugh. He broke ground many years ago for people to have a voice on the radio who can counter the constant mainstream media talking points that are put out there all the time by the progressive left, who are trying to tear down this country and rebuild it in their own image. There's a void there, and it still hasn't been filled. And I'm not quite sure. So they ask me, why is that? And I'm like, I don't have a good answer for that. I know there are people out there that are as smart as Rush. Just nobody who, I know Bongino. I like Bongino. He hasn't filled that void. The Clay Buck and the other guy, Travis or whatever, that they put forward, I think, by the company that carried Rush's show, they haven't filled that void. There's nobody out there talking about and looking ahead and treating these issues in such a way that Limbaugh did. And I was sort of at a loss to answer their question. What, you know, the gentleman said to me, I listen to Rush every day, and he's not there anymore, and there's not really an alternative. And I'm like, there'll never be another one. I mean, there'd be nobody that would be exactly like him. He was one of a kind. But it saddens me because I don't know who who's going to take up that mantle of vision and leadership for conservatives. We can try. I'm a poor imitation of that. But you try to get out there and tell people what you're seeing and where things are going. The media is going to paint you as some sort of a right-wing extremist like they did Limbaugh for 40 years, and it did them no good. It didn't do them any good, because hopefully your message gets through to a few people who start to recognize that the leftist ideology in this country is classically brilliant when it comes to misleading the public. And you need a voice like Rush Limbaugh to shine some light on that, which he did so brilliantly there in 1993. That's how long ago that was. Well, I moved here in 1993 from South Carolina, and Limbaugh had his TV show then, and he was informing people, hey, guess what's coming?
To hear him say something like that back in 1993 is just mind-blowing, because, you know, I would have been 3 or 4 at that point, and I just never really grew up feeling like that was that much of an issue.
Nope.
And now it's like that's what everyone talks about. I mean, how many times have you and I been called a bigot or a racist or a whatever, I mean, name you want to attach to it?
Mm-hmm.
You say anything that goes against their narrative, despite them being the party of love and inclusivity, they just come with the claws out and just rip you to shreds.
Well, and this was before cancel culture.
Yeah.
Limbaugh saw that coming, too, and he talked about it so clearly. So, Rushbo, wherever you are, my friend, we desperately miss you and need you and your voice in this country, no doubt about it. Coming up, we'll talk to Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft at about 6:20, see what he thinks about how well-equipped we are for this upcoming election in November. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.